Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Pastor George Pearsons, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. We welcome you here today, and I know that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Thank you, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for allowing me to host Terry Mize on this broadcast. And Terry Mize, we are so glad that you are here.
Thank you, George.
What a thrill and an honor it is to have you on this broadcast. And I want to mention to the folks before we get into our discussion today that first of all of the notes from these broadcasts that we're doing, they are now available to you online. All you have to do is follow the information there on your screen, kcm.org. You can get them, print them out, share them, teach them, review them, study them. What an amazing thing
That's just a great tool.
Be able to have all of the notes
Praise
from these.
God.
And, you know, the great thing about it is that people can print them out and actually follow along with us as we teach the broadcast. So, and
That's
then also,
tremendous.
Terry Mize has offered this book, God's Opinion of You. And we are making it absolutely free to you. So you can go online once again and order this book. What a gift this will be to you. Brother Terry, on this program today, what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk about something that is very dear to my heart and to yours. We have both grown up in ministry. You're just a few years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been in the ministry actually longer than I have, but we have grown up in ministry following fathers of the faith.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
To hear you speak, and of course, I'm now 40 years at Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
Sure.
And living in this place for 40 years, and I've said this before, out of all the ministries of all the places on the earth that this Yankee could have ended up in, I ended up at Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
Wow.
And I have followed Kenneth and Gloria. They have been my mentors.
Sure.
They have impacted me.
Oh, absolutely.
Impacted my wife so much and our family that they just come out of us.
Yes, they would.
The things that we've learned.
Sure.
And what bothers me sometimes is the fact that these great men and women of God and these great moves of God are sometimes forgotten.
No, absolutely, George. That's true.
And the whole purpose of this broadcast today is to talk to you about those people, those fathers in the faith that have made the difference in your life and that have really set the boundaries and the guidelines for you. And the two scriptures that we were talking about, one was Proverbs 27:10, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not.
Right. Don't forget your father's friends.
Don't forget your father's friends. And then Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set.
Yes, yes.
There are things that have been spoken and taught and trained, and we just can't forget them.
No, we can't. We can't. And those boundaries, the word was recognizing those boundaries because our fathers put them there.
Right.
So we still recognize those markers and those boundaries.
Yes. Yes.
You know, George, today in society in America, outside of the church, but also inside of the church, we're really in a fatherless generation.
Mm.
That's why we're having so much problem, just in America. There's just a fatherless generation.
Right,
there are no
right,
fathers.
Right, right.
But see, that carries on over into the church as well. Everybody needs fathers.
That's right. And you have had close relationships.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I'm talking
yes.
about not from afar.
Right.
Now, I knew Brother Hagin from afar. Mm-hmm. I was only around him just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one opportunity to actually talk to him.
Wow.
And it was at a meeting in Tulsa that Kenneth was having, and Kenneth asked me to escort him down to where his car was, and they were going to bring a car around.
Sure.
And I stood there and tried to talk to him, and I said, I'm Kenneth Copeland's son-in-law, and I'd just like to introduce myself. And he's going, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
he didn't
yep,
say much.
Yep, yep.
He kind of put his hands up like
put
this.
Put his hands up like this. Hands,
yep, 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 yep.
But you had some very intimate relationships with people like John Osteen.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And a lot of folks don't know that Joel Osteen had a dad.
Oh, absolutely.
And his dad really set
wonderful man of
the
God.
Direction
absolutely. Absolutely.
For Lakewood.
Sure.
John Osteen, T.L. Osborne,
sure.
Brother Hagin, Oral
sure,
Roberts,
sure,
and of
sure.
course, Kenneth Copeland.
Sure.
And so what I'd like to do on the broadcast, I'm interested, because I'm personally interested, tell me, the things that affected you and impacted you the most about each one of these individuals? Start with John Osteen.
Well,
or whoever you want.
Sure. One more scripture. The Apostle Paul said, George, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, he said, I'm not an apostle to everybody, but I am to you. And it's important that, though, can you imagine people hearing the Apostle Paul preach, but they didn't receive him as an apostle? So right. The ones that received him got something else.
True.
And the ones that just heard him preach, that's a nice word, amen, brother.
Yeah.
They didn't get what these guys got. And so when we receive our pastor as a pastor, we receive an apostle as an apostle, we receive an evangelist as an evangelist, a teacher as a teacher, then, you know, there's people in your church that come to EMIC, and there's people that sit there, and I mean, they're locked in here that George Pearson is my pastor.
Yes.
That's my father. Yes. That's my pastor. And they're going to get something that the person next to them that just is there on Sunday and says, praise the Lord and hallelujah and good sermon, Brother George, that was a good word you gave today, but yet they didn't receive it. I mean, you're not their pastor. And so there's things that you'll speak into their lives. And so that's the way, you know, sometimes I get up and I'm preaching, I mention one of these guys you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. I think people think I'm name dropping. And it's not name dropping.
No.
They were personal friends.
No.
You know, that I was in their home or they were in my home or we'd spend time on the phone or we'd spend time together. But you mentioned Brother Osteen, John Osteen. I knew Brother Osteen since I was 15 years old. I don't know why, but God always gave me favor with older ministers.
That's
so just at age 15, you know, I met Brother John at a meeting and just kind of locked in. And then I locked in with him the rest of my life. And even though I never lived in Houston and never went to Lakewood, he was my pastor. He was a pastor to me. Might not even pastor to everybody, but he is a pastor to me.
What did he do? What would he say? How was he that?
Brother Osteen was such a pastor that pastoring would come out, even though he'd go to other countries and do things, that still that anointing would come out. So he'd just call me every now and then and tell me some word or some encouragement. He's the first one that ever talked to me about spiritual authority. And he said, Terry, you know, when you walk in, people know you're there. When you walk in, demons know you're there because you walk in spiritual authority.
Wow.
I'd never heard that before. Wow. But coming from Brother Osteen, I accepted it and received it. And from Dodie, you know, these wives aren't just wives. I mean, they're mothers in the
faith.
They
are. They're mothers in the faith.
I'll tell you one thing.
Right.
And see, when they say something to you, it's like God talking to you. You know, I'm not saying they're God, but they're people used of God. And so when they say something, you take that deeper than if just an acquaintance said it to you.
Sure.
I'll tell you just a silly little thing. One time we were at a meeting in Fort Worth back in 1972, I want to say, two or three, went to a WMF meeting, World Ministers Fellowship meeting, and after service, and we were just about to go to Mexico, Jackie and I were just believing God for money, believing God to hear from God that somebody really believed in us. You know, are we really hearing from God to take this baby and wife and go to a foreign country?
Right.
And we walked into an IHOP, International House of Pancakes, after service, and Kenneth and Gloria were sitting over there. And they were just having a late night dinner after a meeting. And of course, I had known them, I had met them, but we, you know, we weren't close friends, but I'd met them and talked to them. I'd chased Kenneth around the building by then. And they saw us and waved at us, and we waved at them, but we didn't go over, we didn't want to bother them. But as they finished their meal and got up to leave, Gloria walked over to the table, and she laid a $20 bill on the table. And she said, I want to invest this in your ministry.
Wow.
And I just sat back and looked at her. I said,
wow,
do you really see a ministry that you can invest in?
Yes.
You know, and she said, I absolutely do.
Yeah.
And so that was like God talking. This is Gloria Copeland saying, you know, like putting her hand on you and saying, hey, you're all right. You can go to Mexico. I mean, God's really going to use you.
That's right.
You know, another time in Mexico when I was just a teenager, Wayne Myers, who I've talked to you about, Wayne's 93 years old now, you know, and been a friend of mine since I was 18, just an old veteran statesman missionary. But the first year I was in Mexico, that we were in Mexico, he walked up to me and gave me a little packet of pesos, the about 200 pesos, the English, the American equivalent, about $16-17. But he said this, he said, son, he said, I give a lot of people offerings, a lot of young missionaries offerings, and tell them, use this money to get back to the border and go home before you die, before you get killed, you know. He said, but you know, I'm giving this to you. And he said, I want you to know, I think you belong here, and I think that God's going to use you and do something with you. Well, that was like God talking to me.
Wow.
I mean, I'm thinking a veteran missionary thinks I belong here.
Sure.
So, you know, you could live on those words and things that these guys would say, you know. And I spent so much time with T.L. Osborne and spent some time with Lester Sumrall, not as much as I do with the other guys.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of time with Oral Roberts.
Tell me about
lots
T.L. Osborne.
Of time with Oral
what
Roberts.
What about T.L. Osborne?
Well, T.L., I used to have T.L. all to myself. You know, back before 1980, T.L. had not preached in a church in America for 32 years. He didn't want to preach in a church in America. He just wanted to preach overseas. Mm-hmm. So there in Tulsa, he'd run up and down Riverside Drive. He and Daisy would go out to dinner. Nobody knew who they was, so nobody bothered him. Oral, on the other hand, couldn't go out to eat anywhere in Tulsa because he had the most recognizable face in the world.
Sure.
So he had
sure.
to just kind of eat at his office and need to eat at home.
Yeah.
But you know, T.L., I just spent lots of time with T.L. And then I started getting on him about, hey, preach in America, preach in America. These churches need you. America mm-hmm. needs you.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally he agreed in 1980, and I picked up the phone and called John Osteen and said, how would you like to have T.L. Osborne speak for you? And he said, you're kidding
oh,
me. And I called another pastor. I called Paul and Jan Crouch, you know, and said, how would you like to have T.L. Osborne on television? And so he begin to minister in America, you know, and begin to do these conventions and things. You know, I took Brother Osborne to his first Kenneth Copeland meeting, you know, and Kenneth was doing a meeting in Tulsa, and I took T.L. down there, and I called Gloria and said, hey, I'm bringing T.L. Osborne to the meeting. She said, you're kidding me. And I said, no, I get him in the back door and get him front row seat. She said, absolutely. And, you know, he just sat there and listened to Kenneth preach. And,
well, really, with T.L. Osborne, your crusade meetings are patterned after
Oh, his. Absolutely, completely.
I mean, people can go online and look up on YouTube, T.L.
Osborne.
Or even
preach his sermons.
And preach his sermons.
Yeah, yeah. I used to go by his office and just pick up his old 16-millimeter films and before I'd go to do a crusade somewhere. And just because I wanted to get in a preaching mode to sinners as opposed to a teaching mode.
Right.
I'm used to teaching church people. You can't walk into a crusade crowd of Hindus or Muslims or atheists or animists or Shintoists or Buddhists or whatever they are. You can't just walk into that crowd and say, okay, open your Bible. They don't have a Bible.
Mm.
You know, turn to 1 Thessalonians. They don't know what that is. I'm going to give you the Rhema and the Logos. They don't know what that is.
Yeah.
You just got to
yeah.
announce the gospel to them.
Yes.
So it's a different deal. You know, and so I'd go get T.L.'s films. And just sit there and show them on the wall, and I just watch them over and over and over.
Name a couple of the films, because if people want to look
some
them
of those
up,
films, you can
online.
Buy them. Oh, well, they're great,
and you can
get them on DVD today from LaDonna Osborne's. But there was Athens of India.
Yep.
There was The Unlimited Christ. There was Black Gold.
Yep.
There was
yep.
I think Wind Over Java or Wind Over Indonesia, something
yes.
like that.
Yes.
Just some powerful old that he did back in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I watched those films as a kid in my church. And then
in order to help our church not forget and to remember these mm-hmm. people too, we have a segment, as you know, at the beginning of the mm-hmm. service where we show maybe a 4-minute
yes,
clip.
That's wonderful.
And we've showed Oral Roberts preaching in the
powerful.
Tent. We've showed
yes.
T.L. Osborne in a miracle meeting
sure.
out there. We've showed A.A. Allen. We've showed some of the earlier some
Absolutely.
Earlier things of Brother Copeland
Absolutely.
And some magnificent miracles.
That's so good.
Well,
you know, I had a pastor tell me here a while back, I told you this the other day, that he said, now, Brother Terry, when you come to my church, don't talk about the old guys. He said, my church don't know who they are. And I said, what old guys? He said, well, you know, like Brother Hagin
oh.
and Brother Copeland and Smith Wigglesworth and T.L. Osborne. And I said, well, Pastor, if your church doesn't know them, that's your fault. You know, I said, Jesus talked about the old guys. If you go in here, Jesus talked about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and Paul talked about the old guys, and Peter talked about the old guys. I said, you know, it's the old guys where we get our foundation from.
You know, I've trained myself that every time, and now I'm becoming one of the old guys, which
exactly.
is, which
Me
is
too.
Great. I mean, but one of the things that I would do is every time I get around somebody, I only had one opportunity with John Osteen, and I would ask him questions.
Mm.
What is it that you did
right,
that
sure.
we're not doing now?
Sure.
I asked Justice Duplee,
sure.
Justice Duplessis, right. a man who translated for Smith Wigglesworth.
Yes.
Somebody's going, who's Smith Wigglesworth?
Right,
oh my
right,
gosh.
Right.
And I said, what is it that we're missing in the church? And he'd tell me.
Sure.
There was a woman named Rhoda Lee.
Rhoda
I don't know
Lee.
If you remember Rhoda Lee, but she
well, it sounds familiar.
She passed away, I think it was in the 90s, but she was the assistant to Amy Semple McPherson.
Wow. Yes, that's
and was
it.
Around
that's
her. It. And then she and her husband in the 50s had a church in California. Mm-hmm. And I said to her one day, I said, what is it that we're not doing in the church that we used to do? And you know what she did? Immediately she said, we're not singing in the Spirit.
Yeah, just a good phrase
okay.
like that.
Okay,
just a phrase
just, we're
like
not singing
that
in the
worth
Spirit.
Worth $1 million.
So we pick up, I'm not going to lose those things.
Sure.
I'm not
sure.
going to let go of those
sure.
things. Tell me about Brother Hagin.
Oh, well, Brother Hagin, of course, was such a prophet of God, and being around him was just so powerful. I mean, I would go to his meetings every year. I know Brother Kenneth and Gloria went to his meetings every year.
Every
I mean,
year.
They were faithful to be at his meeting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would pray for 2 weeks before I'd go to one of his meetings or before I come to Kenneth's meeting. I mean, I pray for their meeting so by the time I get there, man, I'm in tune. I mean, I'm praying, Lord, I want to hear from the prophet this week. I love Brother Hagin or I love Kenneth, and I know they're great teachers, but I'm not really going to hear a teacher this week. I'm pulling on the office of the prophet.
Yes,
and I'm not talking about getting me a personal prophecy. I'm talking about the prophet speaking
right, exactly.
to the church.
Exactly.
And so you're pulling on those gifts. And when we pull on the gift, then something happens. If we just go and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to hear Kenneth Copeland. Yeah, I'm going to hear Kenneth Hagin. You know, it's just another church service.
There's more
we
to
don't
it
get
than
anything.
Yeah.
Or, well, I'm not saying anything, but we don't get what we could get.
Well, like the Apostle Paul said, there are thousands of teachers, but...
But you have not many fathers.
Yeah.
See, T.L. Osborne said phrases to me like, Terry, always stay till the devil leaves. Well, what's that worth? Oh, that's worth $1 million. Always stay till the devil leaves.
That's how you win.
That's how you beat up the devil. That's how you get people healed. Stay till the devil leaves.
Tell them what Brother Hagin told you when he was pastoring, how he would deal with people that were sick in his congregation.
Sure. Brother Hagin used to make the statement a lot. It's in his books. It's in his tapes. He'd say, you know, when I pastored a church, nobody died of sickness. He said they died of old age, but they didn't die of sickness. Mm. And so a lot of guys would just hear him say that, so they'll stand up in their church and say the same thing. Well, nobody's going to die while I'm pastoring. And then they have several funerals, you know, and they think, what in the world's going on? I've had them call me and say, Terry, help. My congregation wants to, you know, crucify me because I've had a bunch of funerals.
And I
told them I was going to be like Brother Hagin. I said, yeah, but you need to listen to what Brother Hagin said to the why. There's always a why.
Yes.
He didn't just rattle something off. There was a reason.
Yes.
And they said, what's the reason? I never heard that. I said, well, it's in the books. It's in the tapes. Go back and listen. He said this. He said, if a man was sick when I pastored, he said, I just went and got in bed with him and read him the scriptures till he got well.
Wow.
He said, if it was a lady in my church that got sick, he said, I went and put a chair by her bed and I read her the scriptures till she got well. Well, see, George, that doesn't change today.
Yeah.
Even if you're a pastor of a mega church and you can't do that, obviously the pastor of hundreds of people and thousands of people can't do that.
Yeah.
But the deacons can, the elders can, the leaders can, the staff can. There are people that can go to that person and just stay and read the word to them and just read scripture to them until the devil leaves.
Tell them what Brother Hagin said about the move of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost meetings that he had. And if this is not taught, he said it'd be a loss to a generation.
Oh, absolutely.
And I took that to heart.
No, absolutely.
I mean, that's why we're in such a move of God right now in our church. We've got the Word and the Spirit going.
Yeah. Brother Hagin always said, you know, you can't just have a Word church.
Yeah.
And you can't just have a Holy Ghost church.
Yeah.
You have to have a Word and Holy Ghost church.
That's
it. You've got to have the two.
That's it.
And he always demonstrated that. You know, he would minister in the morning on prayer usually, and then in the evening he'd have a Holy Ghost service. And
Terry and I attended some of those.
Oh.
And because he was Brother Copeland's spiritual father. Sure. He's like a spiritual grandfather to us.
Of course.
I mean, Terry and I listen to Brother Hagin by night. And we listen to Brother Copeland by day.
Of course.
Because Brother Copeland would keep you awake at night.
We need fathers today just like we need fathers then.
Yep.
And here's something that's just my opinion. You can tell you what it's worth. But in my opinion, and looking at the church today, I feel like that as our fathers have died off, because most of these old fathers we're talking about have gone on. Now, thank God Brother Copeland's still here.
Yep.
You know, Fred Price is still here. There's some of the fathers that are still with us.
Yes,
and
dear
friends of mine and of yours.
But I
feel like the church today, as the fathers have died off, they've quit looking to the next generation, the next succession of fathers.
I've seen that.
And they've just gone to the young lions.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with young lions. I love young lions.
Sure,
young lions are—I mean, I've encouraged them all over the world. I've raised them up all over the world. There's some around the world that are pretty well known. They're young lions of mine, and I'm proud of them. But they're not fathers, and that's the problem. Is when we look to the young lion, even though they may be on television, they may have a lot of money, they may be very popular, and what have you. And thank God for it. I'm happy.
Right.
But when you ask them a father question, a hard question, they don't always know the answer, and they may say the wrong thing simply because they're young lions and they're not fathers. Nothing wrong with them.
Right.
It's just they're not fathers yet. They will be fathers.
Right.
But right now they're young lions, and we still need the fathers.
Okay, the last 4 minutes, talk to me about your relationship with Oral Roberts.
I had a wonderful relationship with Oral because back when he lived in Tulsa, you know, the last 20, 25 years of his life, he lived in California. But, you know, back when he lived in Tulsa and we lived in Tulsa, he would just call or Evelyn would just call and just say, hey, come up for lunch or hey, come up for dinner or hey, you run up the office. And, you know, we'd just drop everything we were doing and run up there. And he'd just minister to us and we'd just talk and visit. And sometimes he'd preach whole sermons to us. And sometimes we'd just sit and visit a little bit. And sometimes he'd just talk to me about something, the state of the church or things that were going on. And, you know, you remember back in the 80s, we had a couple of big scandals in the church.
Right.
He called me in, talked to me about that, told me exactly what was going to happen. And that sort of thing. And I mean, you know, those times were
Are
precious.
There a couple of things in particular that he said to you? I'm asking you because I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I want tell me something that what did he tell you about ministry?
It's on the spur of the moment. I can't think of a phrase off the top of my head. But it was just spending so much time together that it's like he was just always on, always talking. Yeah. It's like I told you the other day about Mom and Dad Goodwin, you know, Carmen and J.R. Goodwin. Brother Goodwin, one day they were prophesying and giving a message at home, you know, and it just kept going, and then it would happen again. And I said, Brother Goodwin, how long will this go on? And he said, oh, it goes on all the time. He said, the Holy Spirit is always talking. He said, look, think of it as a radio station that's always transmitting 24/7. Yep. And he said, sometimes we tune in and we get something, and other times we're not tuned in. We don't get anything. But just because we're not getting anything doesn't mean the Spirit's not speaking. And but those are precious times, you know. And Oral said in his, I think one of the greatest things that I personally spoke to me about Oral, and he said this in his book, Miracle of Seed Faith, that came out back in 1969 when I was 19. I got a hold of it then. But he said, three keys to doing something for God. And he said, number one, God's your source. Number two, give first. And number three, expect a miracle. Wow. Well, I've lived my life by that. My life by that. Yep. Another thing he said was, when God tells you to do something, he said, don't confer with flesh and blood.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Get your job done at all costs.
I got the same thing. Exactly. I got that one when Brother Copeland, after I met Terry, he was flying us back after the Christmas break to Tulsa to go back to school at ORU. Mm-hmm. And I'm flying up in the right seat with him, and he starts telling me, he said, I'm going to give you three things. He said, find out the will of God, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, confer no longer with flesh and blood. Number three, get your job done at all costs. And at that time, I don't remember him saying that he got that from Oral Roberts, but that came from Oral, passed down to him,
came
to me, and now it's my responsibility as a spiritual father to now bring that to the next generation.
That's
what I believe our role is now. You and I have come to the reality in our lives that we are now spiritual fathers.
Oh, sure.
We are stepping into that. We still have fathers that are living on this earth.
Right.
But we have become spiritual fathers.
Exactly.
And how important it is for that legacy to be passed along and for us to perpetuate the heritage of faith.
And it's important for us to get fathers in our life. If you notice, every one of those guys you've mentioned today are in different offices. You know, like Brother Osteen was a pastor to me. You know, Lester Summerall was an apostle to me, and I learned
that's
about casting out devils and stuff from him. You know, T.L. Osborne was an evangelist to me. You know, and it was just one thing after another that I could look to them and glean from and call them and ask them questions, and they'd operate in that office. You know, I miss them. I miss them today.
Well, Terry, thank you for sharing that with us and with me too, because I'm drawing on this.
Praise God.
I get thrilled with this, and I know that you do. Look for your fathers in the faith and stick with them. We'll be right back.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.